We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
You know, we're not going to take our options off the table. We don't wake up in the morning wanting to impeach him. You know, we want to work with him on prescription drugs, background checks, and infrastructure. But we're not going to let him just, you know, torch this democracy because he thinks that he's been let off once and we're not going to do something about it.
They're full of crap.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list and a statue.
Dr. Randy Tobler joining us this morning from the swamp, where it sounds like some of these crazies like Swalwell are pushing impeachment again. Randy, what do you think?
Yeah, no surprise. I mean, they telegraphed that the minute that the vote was over last week. So it's no surprise. That's what they do. And meanwhile, all of the swamp creatures are trying to recreate health care and top-down command and control, man. I am witnessing it firsthand here in D.C. this week. It's really something to behold.
What are you there for? And tell us what you found.
Yeah, you know, as you know, I practiced probably half my career in suburban urban setting there in Metro, and now in rural Missouri, and we're advocating for rural health care, which is on life support in many in many communities throughout Missouri. Seven hospitals have closed in the last 5 years, and rural Missourians, and how many St. Louisans don't have some connection with a rural Missourian or a rural Illinoisan in our audience, you know? And it's just access to care and quality care and the cost of care and all the things we talk about on the national scene. It's impacting rural communities a lot more. So it's funny. Mark, do you like soup?
I do like soup. Vegetable soup? What are we talking about?
I like soup, too. Do you like to make soup, Mark?
I can honestly say I probably never made soup personally. Yeah.
Well, my wife likes to make soup, and you know what? When I start to get in, and the kids used to help try to make the soup, we found that too many chefs spoil the soup, and that's what I'm finding is going on in healthcare, Mark. Because we at this conference we're at, we're having all the administrators, the regulators, the top-down command and control people in Washington D.C. And you wouldn't believe the beehive of activity. I'm sure you've been in the Capitol. Certainly you've been there as a journalist. Maybe others in the audience have been there, lobbying for this or that cause. But the things that you and I talk about every day, about small R republicanism, about, you know, return the power to we the people at the lowest common denominator jurisdiction of governance that you can, is so boldly displayed today, how important that concept is now more than ever. The regulators, let's give them the benefit of the doubt that these soup stirrers are trying to do the right thing, that they're well-intended, that they want everyone to get great health care at the right price and great quality. And you sit there, and I am the only administrator and CEO and physician sitting at the table often in these lobbying groups. And everyone else at the table is what I would call the barnacle on the ship. God love them. Great people. But they're people that are consulting, administering, helping doctors and patients cope with the tremendous regulatory bureaucracy, the 1984 Orwellian bureaucracy that is separating patients from doctors and from great care. And it's just trying to break through the fog, Mark, is just unbelievable. And it really galvanizes my resolve to continue to fight the fight for getting the power and the money out of Washington. And Americans who even begin to think about backing a candidate like a Bernie Sanders or Pete or Joe, anyone with a D on their name, and frankly, many with an R on their name, have got to start asking these fundamental questions before they support them with their vote or with their money.
People need to
believe in divesting power or in accumulating more power, candidate for representative, et cetera.
So you're right. I mean, to your point, you've got the top three or four candidates right now have a minus Buttigieg, the ones that have served in federal office probably have 90 or 100 years of collective federal service under their belt. They were all there to vote for Obamacare for the most part, which was which was passed with the intent of forcing us into a single payer system. Randy, where's the common sense going to come from here?
I don't know, but I have to tell you, I mean, I think that what's heartening is when we spent we had some time with Senator Blunt and his legislative health care affairs person, wonderful lady. And similarly, we didn't get a chance to see Senator Hawley, but did spend some time with his legislative affairs person in health care. And they are properly recognizing that, boy, these Obamacare plans have just decimated what was a fairly stable system, and they didn't need to just disrupt it and throw a hand grenade in it. And I think they're getting that message now. And like I said, I think the rural experience is just the canary in the coal mine. You know, to their credit, they're recognizing that things like expanding broadband access, which is something that the federal government probably should be involved in, sort of like in the Constitution. You know, what can the federal government do? Okay, a postal service, roads, borders, you know, the things that it takes a federal government to do. But when it comes to the interaction between Mark and his doctor, or Denise and her doctor, or Trish and her doctor, or Randy and his doctor, that's a different thing. And the feds need to, yes, provide the infrastructure so that telehealth can be done and all the internet technology that's needed to advance, you know, those great care diagnoses and treatment processes. But boy, getting in the weeds of the individual interaction and trying to manipulate the finances of medicine is just a disaster. And I think our delegation seems to understand that. The problem is, you know, here we are in flyover country, and I'm getting the sense that, especially in the House, we are just pretty much overlooked. Thank God we have prominent senators where Josh and Roy are just really, you know, prominent, both, you know, on the media and certainly in leadership positions with Senator Blunt. So, well, I'm optimistic.
We're going to have Congresswoman Wagner on a little later. You know, the House is back to the hard work of the people. Yesterday they passed another version of the Equal Rights Amendment in the House. That's what they've been concentrating on over there, things that really impact the day-to-day lives of American citizens.
Yeah. I will say that the Ways and Means Committee, Jason Smith from down in the Boot Heel area, and I think you know, our signal spreads down that 55 corridor quite a ways as well. We met with Jason Smith, a great congressman from the Boot Heel area, and boy, he's had several hospital closings in his area. But he's on the Ways and Means Committee, and they have passed out of that committee just yesterday a surprise billing bill. And that's one of the things that I think the government can be involved in, is protecting patients from surprise billing on the part of, let's say, a radiologist or a pathologist who you may go to the hospital and you're in network at the hospital, but then the radiologist or the other, you know, some other physician you see may not be, and you get this surprise bill. And I think there's going to be some movement there. So we're keeping an eye on that and trying to make sure that as best we can, we keep these we keep the swamp creatures in control. Well, we keep them working for the people and not for the insurance companies.
People need to watch their wallets, Randy, because I'll tell you what's coming down the pike. I read today that the folks that are trying to expand Medicaid in Missouri, and make no mistake about this, what it's going to do is force a tax increase on the state of Missouri for the residents, because right now there's no way we can afford it, has already gotten about 75% of the signatures they need on the petition to put it on the ballot, which means there's almost 100% chance at this point that people are going to have to vote on that. If there's no organized effort opposing it, the Catholic Church, I read, has come out in favor of it, and several other groups that could care less what it costs the taxpayer. And you know, I don't know if that's been a subject of discussion in your circles or not, but it's coming.
Well, for fairly valid reasons, the Missouri Hospital Association is actually in favor of it, because the amount of uncompensated, one way or another, Mark, people who are insured are going to pay for uninsured folks. And you're either going to pay for it through your commercial insurance rates going up, or your deductibles and co-insurance rates going up, or through Medicaid expansion. Now, in Missouri, actually, there is a provider tax for EMS, skilled nursing facilities, you know, nursing homes and hospitals, where we self-impose a tax that then gets redistributed to, for instance, hospitals and community centers in urban and rural settings that are underfunded because of the uncompensated care that they give, and we give a ton of it. And so this is one thing we've been fighting for, is in Missouri we have a pretty good system of actually paying for things that don't come from the taxpayers' pockets,
right,
for a large share of the Medicaid share out of a provider tax. So what Missouri is trying to do in the healthcare industry is protect against a tax increase through some creative waivers and other, you know, granting processes. So it's a complex discussion, but we'll be talking about it on the air as things come closer to election.
We'll certainly do it. Hey, have fun up there in Washington. Be safe.
Get more at 971talk.com.